So I'm excited. I wanted to share this Christmas message that I got to thinking about as I was looking at the scriptures. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 2. I read earlier this morning from Luke chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 tells us another vantage point of the Christmas story. It tells us about the Magi that came to visit Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." Gold and frankincense and myrrh, these magi, these wise men, they came and they offered these gifts to the one who they knew was to be born, the king. Jesus Christ, Christmas is the story of the birth of our king. It's the story of the birth of our king, and I want to focus on an aspect of this story this morning that comes not just from the story, the idea of the king being born, but what kind of a king is it that was born? Who is this king that was born? This king, the defining work of this king is that he was born to build. Our king was born a builder. So I kind of imagine when my daughter, she came out this morning and had all these Christmas presents and she opened them, she opened up a whole bunch of presents that kind of indicated that she's a bit of a princess. You know what I mean? She received a cape and a scepter and a crown because she is quite a princess. And I'm imagining, and I'm just guessing, that there are some here who saw this morning presents like Legos. Did any of you get a Lego present for Christmas this morning? I see a few of you. I see, yeah, all right. How about tools? Did anybody get any tools for Christmas? All right. Cool. So lots of these things. When I think about Jesus and what he was born for, I think this. The boy was born to build. Jesus, our king, he was born to build. In fact, the other day we had a Christmas party at our family, and my Nana told my brother-in-law, "You have special building skills." And I thought, oh, cool, she's been listening to my sermon that I haven't preached yet. Because she's crazy. Just having this innate ability to build, to be a builder. And of course, we know the story of Jesus. We know that not only was he, of course, born to the Virgin Mary, but his adopted father, Joseph, was a carpenter. You remember Matthew 13:54 said, "Where's this man get his wisdom? Where does he get these miraculous powers? Isn't he the carpenter's son?" And they said that dismissively, with the idea, well, he's just a builder. He just knows how to build things. But that was, while they thought that was dismissive, that was not at all dismissive to the nature of God in the flesh, of God incarnate, because we know that what Colossians tells us is that Jesus, the very image of God, created everything. He made everything. I like this story that my mom read to the children here and showing the glaciers and the amazing power of these huge pieces of ice. Where did that come from? God created this. God built this. God designed this entire earth and the way that everything functions. God is a builder, and Jesus Christ, this little baby, he was born with that in his DNA. He was born to build. It was prophesied about Jesus several hundred years before he was even born. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 7 about David's son. And when it's talking about David's son, it's really talking about Jesus. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And here's what it says. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever and ever. Jesus was born to build. He was born to establish a kingdom that would reign forever and ever. So this morning, what I want us to consider as we think about the Christmas story, and in a few minutes, we're going to sing one more song. We're going to be dismissed. We're going to go back to our homes, and we're going to be thinking about Jesus throughout the day, right? Because it's Christmas. I want you to be thinking about Jesus came to build. He had an idea. God had a purpose in mind that he would build his kingdom, that he would build individual lives, that he would build wherever he would go, because he is the creator God. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about what I call three principles of building. Now, I am not, unlike my brothers-in-law, I'm not much of a builder. I'm not much of a constructor. I'm not very good at those types of things. In fact, my daughter did receive a Lego present, a gift, and so is her very first Lego gift. And so we set out to build this Lego thing this past week, and wow, those are really fun toys. Those instructions are very, very specific, and you need to follow those to make sure that the Lego actually, you know, that all of those little pieces end up, you know, looking like the box. Because if you don't follow them, and I'm still confused because there was like 50 extra pieces. I know they have to be providing those in case you lose them. There's no other possible way. I could not have made a mistake. Anyways, I'm not much of a builder, so I had to look at these kind of ideas of building, principles of building, not from my own understanding, but from what I see in the scriptures. So the first principle of building that I want us to consider this morning is, number one, count the cost. Count the cost. If you're going to set out to build something, you have to determine, is it worth it? Is it worth it for me to build? Nobody is going to get into a manufacturing something if it costs more to produce that thing than they can get back in return for selling that product, right? It just isn't going to make any sense. Nobody would set out to do that. There would be a cost evaluation. When Jesus spoke wisely about following after him, he said in Luke chapter 14, he said, "Which of you desiring to build a tower doesn't first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid the foundation and he's not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" When I think about the idea of the incarnation, of God becoming flesh, there was a decision made in God's mind where he counted the cost. When Jesus, the boy who was born to build, when the evaluation was made, I will become flesh, I will be born in the stable and laid in the manger, and I will be this human boy. There was a cost evaluation. Ultimately, he recognized, I will go to the cross. God had an evaluation that this price was worth paying. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, we understand theologically that the cross didn't just begin. It wasn't just that passion moment of Jesus' blood being shed, but it was, in fact, it began here with blood pumping through his veins as an infant. This entire gestation period of 9 months and this being born, you know what the first thing a baby does? They cry. The babies cry. Why do they cry? They cry because they're hungry. They cry because they're uncomfortable. They cry because they're cold. They cry because they've made a mess in their diaper. They cry because they're feeling something uncomfortable. They're feeling pain. They're feeling hurt. All of these things that all of us feel, God said, I want to feel that as well. It is worth it for me to do this. God evaluated and determined and counted the cost and said, I want to build something here on this earth, on my creation, and I'm going to become a part of it. The second principle of building that I want you to consider this morning is this. Use the best materials possible. Again, there's a cost evaluation determined, right? If you're going to go ahead and you want to build a house, and you want to live in that house, you want to build it with the best materials possible. Well, you know the story of the pigs, right? The pigs, and they built their house out of straw. Yeah, one built it out of straw. What was that all about? And what did the other one build it out of? Wood? Yeah. And then the wolf built his house. I don't remember the story. The third, yeah, I built it out of bricks, and then the wolf is just, yeah, that's right, he blows the houses down, except but he can't blow the brick house down, right? Yeah, it's not in the Bible, so I don't know it, I'm sorry. But the point of that story is you use the best materials possible to withstand. Man, it was windy last night, right, or the night before. Did any of you guys have your house fall down? No, because the builders used the appropriate materials. At least, again, if your house did fall down, I apologize. This is probably a really hard day for you. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And this prophetic warning is given to us about, hey, what do we build our lives with? Are we using straw? Are we using wood? Are we using gold or silver? What is the material that we are using to build our lives upon and to build our lives with? What are we building with? And I want you to consider this principle that when it comes down to it, you want to build with the best possible material. And so it was with God. When God considered the world and he saw the state that the world was in, the state of sin, the state of fallenness, the state of rebellion, and he said, I want to work recreation into that world. I want to rebuild a broken world, and I'm going to send my son into the world. What God was doing in that moment was God was giving his very best. God didn't just send a prophet who would speak the words of God. God didn't just send a teacher who would teach the words of God. God didn't just send a worship leader who would sing songs in an eloquent way, in a fashionable way that would get our attention. God didn't even just send a miracle worker who could do the impossible, who could heal the sick and maybe even raise the dead. He went beyond all of those things and he gave himself. God gave his very son. God gave Jesus Christ. God gave us him. God gave us God. The very, very best. And he didn't just do all of those things and live all of those ways. He did all of them, but he went beyond, and he even went to the point, as we mentioned, of death. He tasted everything that we taste. He experienced everything that we experience because by doing so, he could give us his life. This is the message of Christmas. It's the message of Christmas and the message of Easter. It's the message of every single Sunday that God gives us his life, and that if we will receive his life, then we will have everlasting life. If we will receive the promise that he has given to us, then we receive a promise of never dying, a promise of being with him forevermore. So we count the cost. Was it worth it for God to come to save his creation? was worth it for him. It was so worth it that he sent his very best. And the third principle that I have for you to consider this morning is very simply this. Make it beautiful. If you're going to set out to build something, make it beautiful. Make it important. Again, I'm so pleased to have the children in service this morning. I'm glad to have my daughter in here, and she's sitting here, and she is making something that's beautiful. Poor kid. The Quinn girls know what this is like. Well, only one of them showed up when their dad spoke, because they knew that this would happen. They just get called out. And wait, now you're all getting called out. Oh, how uncomfortable. Yeah. That's why your sister didn't show up. But now she's being called out. So there. My daughter makes so many beautiful things. She draws them, she paints them, she glitter glues them all over the house, if you know what I mean. And it just makes everything lovely and everything beautiful. And so should it be with us that when we think about Christmas, we think about God giving us Jesus Christ, what he has done as he has brought beauty into the world. He brought beauty into the ugliest of situations. He brought light into darkness. Isaiah chapter 60. Again, consider, this verse is written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. I want you to think about that for a moment, because you're familiar with the Christmas story, but are you familiar with these prophecies that were made centuries before the birth of Jesus? Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 7. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, a thick darkness, the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They all come to you from afar. The sun shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall come to you. Your young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and frankincense, and they shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. I love that. I will beautify my beautiful house. Christmas is this message that God created. You remember this. God created everything, and he said, it is good. But sin came into the world. Darkness came into the world. But while God still loved his good creation that had been damaged by sin, he said, I will beautify my beautiful house. I will bring the wealth of the nations in. I will bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So we consider these principles of building, and we recognize this. Christmas tells us that if we count the cost, God thinks we are worth it. Think about that. Christmas, as Valerie read, is for you. God thinks you're worth it. God looked upon you in eternity past. He saw everything you would do, every thought you would have, every action, every heartbeat, every hair upon your head. He looked at you and he said, they are worth it. They're worth it. You're worth it. This is mind-boggling to me when I think about myself. I think I'm not worth it. But it doesn't matter what I think. If God thinks I'm worth it, I'm worth it. If God thinks you're worth it, you're worth it. What are you worth? Second point, God gave his very best. You're worth God's own son. God decided you were so worth it that he would give you Jesus Christ, that Jesus would die in your place, in my place. I'm telling you, it doesn't make any sense to me, this gospel message. It makes sense on a paper level, but the depth of it is so phenomenal. Why would God do this? Because he loves us. God so loved the world. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God thinks we're worth it. God, and doesn't matter if you and I doubt that. He believes it. And so he gave us Jesus Christ. God gave his very best, and God's best is beyond beautiful. God's best is beyond beautiful. Of all the charms, of all the peace, of all the joy, of all the happiness that comes with the Christmas experience, as you and I gather together in just a few minutes, you're going to go off to your homes, you're going to have a Christmas lunch somewhere, you're going to open some presents, all of those things that you find attractive and appealing and beautiful, they are beautiful. They are beautiful. But God's best is even more beautiful. Jesus is even more lovely. Jesus is even more desirable. God's best is so brilliant and so bright and so appealing that everything in our hearts truly longs for him. All of those, because here's, let's be honest. The end of the day, today, you're going to go to sleep and you're going to feel a little tiny bit, no matter how great your day is, of, that wasn't perfect. It was great, but it wasn't perfect. Because we don't experience perfection right here. Because there's always going to be something longing inside of us for that perfect, which is to see Jesus face to face. To see God's very best with our own eyes. And I'm telling you this morning, the promise of Christmas is that if you believe in Jesus now, though you do not see him, you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because you most certainly will see him. All who have faith, all who believe. You are part of what Jesus came to build. That boy that was born to build us. To build his church, to build his people. That we would be a glorious light to the nations. That we would shine forth his glory and his song. And that the light that he shone onto the world now shines in us for all the world to see. Ephesians chapter 2 says it this way. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Jesus Christ was born to build, and he was born to build us. He's born to build us. So this morning, this Christmas day, I want your heart to thrill and exult in the treasures of all the world being brought to the chief builder, Jesus Christ. Because as he receives all those treasures, all the joy, all the good things, he builds them up into his church, into his people for his glory, to proclaim his name. I want our worship team to come back. We're going to close this morning by singing Joy to the World as we began this service. And we're going to sing Joy to the World because that is what Jesus has built in us. So this morning, I wish you the very merriest of Christmases. Would you stand with me as we sing Joy to the World? We worship Jesus Christ, our King who was born to build.